Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
So today we begin a brand new series. I call it, There's a Healer in the House. It's going to be very powerful. I hope you'll get it. Let's just open the Word right now, shall we? The inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of the living God is able to change us and save us. Beginning with Luke chapter 4, when Jesus comes back from the wilderness and comes into his hometown, Nazareth, it says verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, that means he did it every week, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. If church is good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, okay? And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. It was his turn to read. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he begins to read this declaration, which is interesting because it's in the first person. It was written by Isaiah in a first person prophecy that God would speak about himself, or that a Messiah would speak of himself. And so Jesus reads this worldwide, by the way, that day in every synagogue around the world, that was the scripture that was read. And Jesus stands up on that day and reads verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, of the Lord's favor or jubilee, one translation says. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. Everybody say, sat down. He sat down. He took a position. We'll talk about that more later. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this verse has not just been read to you, it has come into the room. Today, this verse has manifested in your presence. I want to weave in there Mark chapter 4. This is from one of the Bible talks about the most powerful parable of Jesus' stories that he shared in verse 3 of Mark, the fourth chapter, from the Message. It says, Jesus said this, listen, what do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell on the road and birds ate it. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly, but it didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled among the weeds and nothing came of it. Some fell on good earth and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. Now later on, verse 11, the disciples are with Jesus alone. He's just been speaking to the multitudes, sharing the parables. And they come to him and say, well, what does it mean? And Jesus talks to them, verse 11. He told them, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know, or it's being revealed to you, how it works. But to those who can't see it yet, everything comes in stories or parables, creating readiness, nudging them toward receptive insight. I love the way the Message says that. Moving people along, what we're talking about, the chain of grace, moving them from being maybe anti-God all the way to I'm open, all the way to Jesus is Lord of my life. Finally, verse 13, from the New King James, Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower or the farmer sows the word. Thank you for that amen over there. We take care of the children last week and they're amening us this week. Anyway, let's pray one more time. Father God, would you open the eyes of our heart and give us insight and understanding to your word. Let your will, your power, your presence come and change us into your image and into your likeness in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about the scripture where Jesus stated he had come for those who were needy or sick, not for those who didn't understand that they needed a doctor. Too many people today stand in their own righteousness. In fact, as I shared a few months ago, people that are surveyed today in America, a vast majority of people say they're Christians or that they believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, that they believe in heaven and hell, that they believe that Jesus is real, that he's Lord, and they consider themselves Christians. The problem is a large percentage of those, even a majority, actually believe that the way you go to heaven is you do good things. If you do enough good stuff, it overwhelms the bad stuff, and you're righteous by that, and you have a relationship with God by the fact that you're a good person. And that's not what the Word says. The Word says we have to come to know that we inherently were born into sin because of the fall of Adam, and that we need a Savior, that we can't save ourselves. No matter how good we are, it's never up to God's standard, which is perfection. But Jesus set the standard, lived the standard, lived a perfect, holy, and sinless life, and then gave that life up freely on a cross, and then said, whosoever believes can enter that new life through him. We need a doctor. We need a doctor. We need Dr. Jesus. One of my greatest privileges in ministry as I was coming up was coming under men of God who were known for healing and miracles. I know others talk about skepticism, but I'm telling you, we saw integrity among these men and women of God we were around. They frequently taught on receiving healing from the Lord. This month, we're going to double down on that. We're going to talk about that. But not just physical healing. Healing of your spirit, healing of your soul, your mind, your will, your imagination, your creativity, healing of your relationships, healing of your finances, healing of your body, spiritual, mental, emotional, everything. I want to say at the outset, there are no shortcut formulas for healing. As we give principles, we're not giving you a formula. This is not a 1-2-3 skidoo, and here you go, here's your healing. God is not a slot machine to be played. He is God of heaven. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he wants to be respected, honored, revered, and loved, and he loves you. There are principles. One of the greatest things I learned in this first thing I'm going to say to you is not to focus on what you need from the Lord, but on the presence of the Lord himself. One of the keys to divine healing is that you would focus on the giver, not just the gifts. We need to set our eyes and our hearts on the healer more than the healing. His presence more than the presence. His presence, for those of you listening on the podcast right now, his presence with the CE at the end and not just the TS at the end. It's his presence. We need to focus on him. Why? Because healing isn't something God does. Healing is part of his nature. It's part of his character. In our text, Jesus returns from testing in the wilderness. The Bible says, in the power of the Spirit. And he happens to turn to this scripture in this messianic prophecy by Isaiah hundreds of years before, and he stands up to read it, and as he reads it, it is the Word, the living Word, declaring the Word. It is his presence and power commanding that moment, and there is a reaction. And what he's reading is all the things that would happen through his atoning work. All the things that would take place because he would go to a cross. He would give his life. He would descend to hell, take back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, but handing the keys to the church. We're no longer victims. We're victors and we're conquerors. We see a unique strategy, or excuse me, a new synergy between Jesus, the living Word, and the Holy Spirit there in Luke chapter 4. We say around here, and this will be a good place for those of you to take notes, and I hope you do, but healing, we say this, healing Word, healing Spirit. The ancient, the not ancient, but you know, 50, 60 years ago seems ancient now, but a lot of the healing evangelists that were running around in what was called the Voice of Healing move of the late 1940s and early 1950s through today, but especially during the 50s and 60s, they said this: all word, dry up. All spirit, blow up. All word and spirit, grow up. You have a lot of churches right now that are very word-based, and I love the Word of God. But I'm telling you, if you get into the letter of the law, you will dry up quickly. If you have the letter of the law, if you have the Word of God without the unction, anointing, and tangible manifested presence of the Holy Spirit, you have the Word. But if you're an all-word church, you will surely dry up. Now, they used to call the charismatic days the cruzomatics, because they didn't put down any roots. They just kind of flit and floated from church to church, from place to place without. They were lone rangers. They were out there just going tent to tent or meeting to meeting or conference to conference. That day is done, my friend. The Bible says those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It's a day of planting. It's a day of relationship. It's a day of putting God first. So we say, listen, some places it's all spirit. You're just going to blow up. You're just going to blow up. If it's all the Holy Spirit and you have very little word-based, word foundation, you're going to get off at some point and you're going to go sideways and you're going to wonder what happened. Some people say, well, this church is so different. Well, there's a lot of churches like us around the world, thank God. But I'll tell you, if you taste the difference here, it's because we are word and spirit, not just one or the other. We believe in the anointed word, the empowered word, the unction word, the word of God, the word of the Lord that comes in through the power and presence of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus finished the reading and sat down, the Bible says the people were stunned. Because that passage was written in the first person, yes, and because he was declaring it, but it was also manifesting. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and anointed me. He was declaring himself to be the I am, the great I am. And as he said it, the people responded. Now, many people believe that when the Bible says that Jesus went and sat down and the people stared at him, many New Testament scholars believe that Jesus sat in what is in every synagogue, even to this day, I'm told, and that is there's a special seat that no one's allowed to sit in. It's reserved for the Messiah who is coming one day. And many scholars believe that Jesus sat down in that Messiah's seat, and that's why the people were stunned, because the next thing that happens is they try to take him out of the city and stone him to death. They were going to kill him the first day of his ministry. How many know that's a rough day? They're going to kill him, but he had the audacity to sit there, and when they were staring at him with daggers, he said, today, this scripture has stopped being in the book and has come into the room. That's word and spirit together. You know, people will often build monuments to what God did in the past, but fight to oppose what he's doing now. Modern day Pharisees still live. And they would rather defend the traditions of man, the tradition. Jesus said, by the traditions of men, you make the word of God powerless. You make the word of God powerless. You take all the power of the word because you make tradition more powerful than what God is saying now. Remember when Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church? The rock was revelation that God can speak now and talk to his people and lead his people now. God is a God of revelation knowledge. He's not the I was, he's the I am. And a lot of people today want to say that healing is gone when the Bible was completed being written 2,000 years ago or under that now. That people want to say, well, that day was done when the original apostles died. Well, that's not true because Paul came along. Well, maybe it was after Paul the apostle died. That's not true because he listed many other apostles he was raising up in his journeys in the book of Acts and throughout the epistles. So people have this whole idea, well, what about this, what about that? And it's all head knowledge. You're never going to have relationship with God if it's all in your head. if it's just theological mumbo jumbo. It's a relationship with God through His Word. I know many people who have read the Bible backwards and forwards many times and they don't know Jesus. Because it's not just about knowing scriptures and theologies. It's about knowing Jesus in a personal relationship. There's nothing in Scripture that says healing and miracles had an expiration date after the New Testament was fully written. In fact, the early church in the book of Acts moved in great grace and great power in all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles. And the book of Acts is one of the few books in the New Testament, one of the two that I know of, that don't finish with the word amen. The book of James, which is about action to your faith. And the book of Acts, which is certainly about action to your faith. Neither of those have an amen. Every one of them else says amen. Why? Because it's supposed to be an ongoing experience from generation to generation to generation, beginning with 12, and one of them was a devil. Then they replace Judas to have the 12 again. And out of that 12, today there are hundreds of millions, if not a couple of billion people in the world that proclaim to be Christians. Let's be honest. There's so much brokenness all around us. But our more than enough God came to repair that brokenness and restore people's lives. Think about the language Jesus used. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Recovery. Freedom. That's when he said he came to preach good news to people who have need, but not just people who have need, but people who respond in that need, looking for God to meet that need. We need healing in the house. We need healing in the family more than ever. I heard some Dr. Dingaling say, you know, some kind of thing a while back. Well, we don't need healing. The healing ceased because we don't need that anymore. Are you serious? What planet are you on? We all come up short. We all need God to fill those gaps I talked about last week. If you were working so hard last Sunday, you didn't get to watch, make sure you watch last week's message, because it's foundational to where we're headed. We need healing in the family more than ever. Families are under assault right now. Every area where our society has pushed God out, the enemy has pounced to destroy. Just on the Orlando News headlines a couple of weeks ago, a special education public school teacher defended herself from a special needs student that began to be violent. And they fired the special ed teacher for defending herself. What are you supposed to do? So allow a student to beat you senseless or kill you? Ridiculous. See, we've turned things upside down. Why? Because 50 years ago when I was growing up, they pushed God out of public school and said, we don't want him here. And God goes where he's wanted and where he's desired. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. In all your ways, push him away, and he's limited to what he can do. My friends, we need God. We need healing. We need God to do some great things. One of the questions we hear often about healing is, well, how do we know if it's God's will to heal? And I simply respond with this. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bodily, and Jesus never denied healing to anyone who put sick. He never denied anyone to ask him, and he never put sickness on anyone either. He never had, when people, a leper came to Jesus one day and said, and used that one time we see in Scripture, if it's your will, you can heal me. And in that one time, and we build whole doctrines of this in people that say, well, maybe he can heal, but we got to know if it's his will. Can I tell you something? If it be thy will is one of the most doubtful, fearful, negative prayers you can ever pray. Why? Because we know the revealed will of God in many things. We don't know necessarily what we're supposed to do specifically tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. But we know certain things have been revealed through the Word of God. And we know this, God's word is God's will. God's word is God's will. It is his, the New Testament is his last will and testament. What would it be if a woman, very, very wealthy couple, the husband passed away, and the wife said, gosh, I wish I knew if I could get a hold of what my husband had for us. I thought he had insurance. I thought he had this. I thought he had that. Well, you know, somebody would say, well, you better go read the will. You better get an attorney to go and process, execute the will. And then you can know what the will is, and then you can access what your husband left for you. My friends, God's will and God's testament, his new covenant, new testament with better promises, the Bible says, even the Old Testament, people were healed physically, healed spiritually, and healed emotionally under the old covenant. And how did he heal? The Bible says of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, he sent his word and healed them. And none of them was feeble among them and all their tribes, 3 million people. And as they left Egypt, not one was feeble. Anybody that came with a walker or a stick left there walking with no pain, no weakness. Now that's under the old covenant. That's before Jesus went to the cross. God's word is his will. Every once in a while, I get out an old book that I've been reading for years. It's called Christ the Healer. I put it on the screen before many, many times. But it's this year is the 100th anniversary of this book being written by F.F. Bosworth called Christ the Healer. It's very powerful. It's just, it's scripture, it's testimonials, it's all kinds of things. As people 100 years ago, ministers of the gospel, were actually just being awakened to the power of the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in the modern time. And they began, and this book is so powerful. I go through it sometimes just to read it again. And one of the things that he said is so powerful. He said that these people who say, is it God's will to heal? They almost relegate from God saying, I am that I am, to I was. I was a healer. No, he is a healer today. And if as a healer today, a lot of times we have this situation where we can believe for healing for somebody else, either use them again for ourselves. But you need to start trusting God in every area. All healing is received by faith. Faith is trusting God. It's simply having a confidence, a trusting in God, trusting in his word, trusting in his spirit, trusting in his promises, believing in our hearts and speaking out of our mouths with corresponding action. Faith is more than just a head knowledge. It's not a mental assent. It's not a, okay, I believe he can. You got to trust his word. Now, are you awake today? Are you okay? We're going somewhere good this month, but I'm trying to lay a little foundation here, so track with me, follow me, and lean into it. I'll talk about that in a minute. Some people believe God can. Some people understand that God wants to, but only a few receive that God will do it for them. I say it this way, faith is the all-access backstage pass. It's the all-access pass. It's okay, you go to a concert. One of my life highlights years ago, before I gave my life to the Lord, my dad was a professor of music and had many students that he taught, vocal music, especially at a college level. And one of them went on to be in a rock group in the 70s called Pablo Cruz. They had hits like What You Gonna Do, When She Says Goodbye, and all these different songs, Love Will Find a Way. Anyway, David Jenkins still close with my dad, and at 16, they were appearing. Back then, we didn't have anything good in Orlando, by the way. I grew up in the Orlando area, and there was no good arena in Orlando. There was a place down by the airport. There was like a wrestling arena, and that was a crummy place. But we had to go to Lakeland Civic Center back when I was first driving to see concerts. So me and a buddy went, and David Jenkins, Apollo Crews, said, I've left a backstage pass for you at the back door. So me and my buddy Ronnie Britton went to Lakeland Civic Center for a Doobie Brothers Pablo Cruz concert. And I get there to the back door, and there they had us on the list, and they get us back there. I'm 16 years old, and I said, well, do you have seats for us? They said, no, this is all access, backstage pass. I thought I was already in heaven. I didn't even know the Lord yet. I was like, well, where does that mean? They said, you can go anywhere back here unless there's a locked door. Okay. So we had this tremendous experience I can't go into now. But anyway, I talked about that more last week. But anyway, it was, I did realize why they called them the Doobie Brothers. But anyway, that's all I can say. But anyway, it was just one of those, thrilling things. You're there. And there was Jeff Skunk Baxter, the lead guitarist, just walking across right by me. And there's, Michael McDonald over here. And, it was like weird. We have been given the all-access backstage pass through the Word of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, into everything that God says is ours. Psalm 103 said this way, bless the Lord. This is Old Testament, by the way, but this is David saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. How many?
All.
And who heals all your diseases. How many?
All.
Throughout Scripture, forgiveness and healing are connected. If you look at James chapter 5, it says, let them pray the prayer of faith, and if they have sin, let them confess their faults one to another. Forgiveness and healing go together. Forgiveness and healing go together. Everybody say that with me. Forgiveness and healing go together. That's what we have to understand. Everything Jesus paid the price for, we have access to. You say, well, I had somebody, my grandmother was the most sainted person ever, and she died of cancer. I'm so sorry your mother died of cancer, or grandma died of cancer, or whatever else. But you cannot underestimate the power of God's word based on somebody's anecdotal evidence. We trust the word and the Spirit of God more than we trust our experience. Thank you for that overwhelming response. I'm going to give you three quick principles in the next few moments of trusting God for healing. Next week, we're talking about family healing. Family healing. Family healing. Don't miss it. It's going to be very powerful. But right now, number one, faith has a posture. Faith has a posture. You might hear Pastor Lindsay and I use that word quite a bit because we believe in this. Faith has a posture. You know, it's baseball season now. And when you got baseball season going, the catcher who's going to catch the pitch of the pitcher, he gets down and crouches down. He has to assume a certain posture, a certain position. That's why a lot of the catchers today, they can't even hardly walk in their 60s and 70s because they've ruined their knees and some of their nephews too. But anyway, sorry. Come on, I'm just making sure you're awake. A catcher, somebody who's about to receive the ball, has to take a certain posture. There's a kingdom principle about leaning into Jesus. Leaning into Jesus. You're either leaning in or you're leaning out. Right now, some of you, your posture is you're kind of checking us out, and you're kind of thinking about, oh, it's a 3-week challenge. I got 3 weeks to decide this. Guarantee you some of the teenagers come in and kind of lean back like they want to learn to drive. But there's a moment where you sense something happening where you're like, oh. Remember, some of you might remember, I can't even say it's so old. Anyway, used to be a commercial for E.F. Hutton. People were walking around, there's a whole crowd, everybody's just buzz, 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 buzz. And they got, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. E.F. Hutton says, and everybody just stops and goes like this. They said, when E.F. Hutton talks, Janet just snorted on the front row because she's laughing because she finally remembered it. Wow. Anyway. They say, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Can I tell you, when Jesus Christ speaks, people listen. And when we listen to his words are able to change us and transform us. Leaning in or leaning out is about your heart attitude. It's not about your physical lean, but many times when you're in a conversation and it's fascinating, you kind of lean into it, don't you? You can't help yourself. You kind of lean in. And when people are boring and just kind of droning on and on, you're trying to keep your eyes open and you're kind of leaning out, you know? You don't mean to, but let's be honest about it. It's true. We're all human. It's a hard attitude we're talking about with God, though. Not just to get something from him. That's what we got to make sure. We're not just trying to get something from him in healing, but to know him. To have a real and vibrant relationship with him through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Your entire spirit, soul, and body must be in agreement or alignment. That's posture. You're set apart. You're sanctified. Your whole spirit, soul, and body, Thessalonians says. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be set apart for God's purpose. Here's good news. God created the human body to actually rejuvenate itself. We're fortunate right now to have many chiropractors in the church. And chiropractic, I didn't even believe in it when we first started church 34 years ago. And through a series of different things and different chiropractors that came into my life and said, no, let me just show you. This isn't spooky stuff. This is God's way. Listen, there's something called the immune system. We all know it. We all know the immune system. What is the immune system? It is God's rejuvenation system to try for the body to try to heal itself on its own. Chiropractic and functional medicine are the way we move the obstacles to wellness out of the way. There are some hurdles that are there. There's some things that are placed in there. If we can remove them, then the body can be healed and whole. A lot of the things today that people go through, autoimmune disease, where the body starts attacking itself. We need the healing power of God. We need natural healing before medical healing, and I believe in all of it. God uses people, God uses doctors, God can do it all, but he will do it anyway, but I want healing no matter what it takes, and I'll do whatever it takes. Amen. Finally, a couple more things. King Jehoshaphat, in the story of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Judah was surrounded. Judah means praise, by the way. Judah was surrounded by three conspiring armies, and the king Jehoshaphat set himself and his nation to seek God. And the word of the Lord came, 2 Chronicles 20:17, you will not need to fight with weapons, in other words, in this battle, but position yourselves, posture yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Make a stand. Have a certain stance. Have you ever felt surrounded by problems? Just hemmed in, and you feel like it's a lose-lose? My friends, those are the moments where God can come through, but you have to spend time in his presence and get to know him, not just about him, not just for a quick fix of another problem, but you got to spend time in his presence, get a hold of him. Terry Lee Cobble said this, you can only trust in someone you know, and you can only know someone you spend time with. So Pastor Chris said earlier, just coming here and responding and raising your hand last week, that's great. That's awesome. We welcome that. We're so thankful for the people that responded. It was tremendous. But that's not a one-off prayer. It's a doorway to a journey and a relationship with God. And you've got to now lean into him and break through one seed, one step at a time. You get to know God through his word, and every word is a seed, which is the final part of the passage here. Number two, faith believes God's promises. Faith believes God's promises. We just believe in God. A lot of people say, well, I believe in God. Well, the Bible says demons believe in God and tremble at his presence, but they're not saved. We have to do more. We have to lean in. It's a relationship. So faith believes God's promises. And I say it this way. If God said it, I believe it. If God said it, if it's in the Word and He said it, I believe it. Now, there's some stuff in the Word. You know, just finished a Bible study on Job, and Job's three friends are knuckleheads. Job's friends are sitting there trying to tell him this, that, and the other thing. It's in the Bible, but God didn't say it. He just showed it for a reason to show people are knuckleheads sometimes. But I trust God. I trust His Word. I trust His promise. Can you say amen? More than my pain, more than emotions, more than circumstances, His eternal Word is truer. It is a promise book of seeds, and every promise is a seed. And as you get that seed inside of your heart, it will take root. It is a living seed, and you are God's garden. Say amen. Amen. Proverbs 4, I'm almost done. Proverbs 4:20. Write this down, read it later. The Bible said this way, my son, attend to my words. This is from the Amplified, by the way. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they, what? My sayings, the words of God, they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Healing and health to all their flesh. His word is true. When you meditate on the seed of His word, it starts producing a harvest. Start searching for the promises, one song says, like you know who your father is. Be convinced. Speak the word, agree with God. Finally, this, number three, faith keeps praising God. So the first thing is faith has a posture. Second is promises. The third P word is praise. Faith keeps praising God in advance. The Bible says we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courtyards with praise for our Father God as His kids. Not by begging or twisting His arm. Thankfulness comes first. Gratitude starts. I'll say it this way. I kind of saw this thing with, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I know we're very far away from that right now. But Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, when the Bible says we enter His gates with thanksgiving, I'd say it this way. Gratitude starts the parade. But you know how Santa Claus comes at the end of Macy's parade every year? Manifestation and breakthrough comes at the end of the parade. But it starts with thanksgiving. Some people say, well, I'll be thankful when this is manifest. When I'm better, when I feel better, I'll be thankful. No, ask Him in faith, trust in His promise, and then praise Him for the answer now on this side of the Jordan, on this side of the problem, on this side. Anybody can get excited and thank Him when you get the miracle. Anybody can do that. You don't even have to be a strong believer when you get a miracle to start thanking God. But you got to praise Him by faith. King Jehoshaphat sent the praisers in first, not to try to manipulate God, but out of obedience and revelation of His goodness and mercy that endures forever. They started singing, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. And they were surrounded by the enemy. And many of you know the story. When they came into the field where the enemy was about to converge, the three armies had gotten so confused by the praises of God that had gone up in the heavenly realm. The demonic powers and the people got so confused that they actually declared war on each other and destroyed each other. And when Israel marched in with their praise and worship team, it was all these armies that were already gone, dead and gone, and all they had to do was pick up all their stuff and take it back. They were delivered by God as they praised Him in advance. Now, they didn't know that was going to happen. They just knew that God said, praise me because you're not going to need to lift up weapons in this battle. God will fight for you. That's a word for somebody. That's a word for somebody today. Right now, whatever you're going through, you might feel surrounded by stuff. You might feel like we're going down for the count. This is a lose-lose. No, it's not. God could do it in a million ways. He could turn this whole situation around. You just can't see them. But you have to trust Him. Can you say amen? Because Jesus is alive, we can declare along with Him today, the scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing. The living word has come into the room. His words, every word I preach today, is an incorruptible seed going into the garden of your heart, ready to produce a harvest. Remember, we don't have to understand how something works to believe it's true. Do you know how fiber optics work? Because I sure don't. But my smart TV said the other day, you need to update. Push the button. I pushed the button, and next thing I know, my smart TV was smarter. I don't even know how it works. I ain't understood when the phone plugged into a wall and there was a wire that ran from here to Timbuktu and I could talk to that person on a wire. I get that. Don't know how it worked, but I knew it was a wire. Wireless, I'm out. I'll just sign me up for using it because I need it. But I didn't wait till I understand how it works. Some people get so analytical. They get the paralysis of analysis. They just start thinking, oh, well, I don't know. Well, how does it? Well, how would God do this? Well, how could he? Stop thinking in your brain. Your brain's too limited to understand fully a limitless God. Let's trust him. Let's believe his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your promises today. We stand on the promise that you live for the whosoever wills, that you forgive the whosoever wills, that you also heal the whosoever wills. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Be welcome in this place, because some people in this room or some people watching today are hurting. Some people are bruised on their outsides and some are bruised on their insides. But your word is true. You heal the brokenhearted. You bind up their wounds. Lord, we thank you that blood pressure today comes into normal ranges. That there's a peace that comes over every person that's on blood pressure medication or any person who is having blood pressure issues. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You're a mighty healer. We thank you, Lord, for peace right now. We thank you that that tumor shrinks and dies. We thank you, Lord, that you can do anything. We thank you, Lord, for healing marriages, healing families, healing finances, healing futures, healing trust issues, healing broken people. We thank you in advance because we ask you to do it and we know you can, we know you want to, and we know you will. In Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. Maybe you're somebody who's hurting today. Maybe you came in physical pain. God can touch your body right now. He can touch your soul right now. He can work in your life. Just invite him to do that. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord of your life, if you know about God, then you know religion. If you know Jesus in a real and dynamic relationship, then it's not just religion, it's something more. It's something more. That's the relationship that heals, that saves, that sets captives free. So Phil, I want to, we're right here at the end of our time, but I just want to, I just feel a kind of a flow change. Someone here, in fact, several people here, this is not for you, but this is for someone you know. Several people here in the room have a friend or family member that is demonized. And you know, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody here, but you know that everything they're going through has to be the devil. There's no other explanation. God wants to do something right now while you stand for them, while you pray for them. Who is that? Raise your hand. You know somebody. You have somebody. There's a burden on your life. And man, several people. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, for those whose hands are raised, those whose hearts are open, whether in the room or even watching online, right now, who knows someone who is being demonized, terrorized, destroyed, eaten up, right now, we send a delivering, healing word to that person to deal with them, to come into their right mind. We claim the promise, Lord, that says that when the man of Gadarenes, who had been naked and living among the tombs and breaking all the chains and was filled with demons, Lord, your word says that when Jesus entered that situation, that when they found that man, he was clothed and loved and in his right mind. And we release that healing word right now. Deal in that situation. Jesus, we invite you in by our upraised hands into that home, into that situation. And we know that only you can do it. But now here we promise this, Lord. We promise that when this thing shifts and turns for every seed and every step, we will give you glory. We will honor you. We will glorify your name, and we will know. And we will tell others that it is you that is at work in our generation. Still healing the brokenhearted, still setting captives free. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him praise like you just got your breakthrough for your friend or your family member. We want to hear those stories. We want to hear those testimonies. That's powerful. That is so powerful. Come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus. Let the seeds of his word be watered and take root in your heart. Let no one have the soil that is trapped to do nothing, but let God put down the roots and grow up those seeds into great harvest. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.